Hello, everyone. It is the Having a Bash with Basha podcast, and I am Basha, your host. I just wanted to record another podcast this week because I feel like my snow day podcast was, well, pretty much what a snow day is. It was a little bit, like, lazy and short, disorganized, you know, it's pretty much... My snow day podcast was what a snow day is. So I actually have real notes written down, typed up in my phone, and I have some things that I really wanted to talk about that have been on my mind for the past few days. So what I wanted to start out with, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an outline for what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to mention, I'm going to talk about Selena Gomez. I'm going to talk about commuting. I'm going to talk about turning 24 because I will be turning 24 in July. I'm going to touch a little bit on Summer House, the newest episode, and I'm going to touch a little bit more on Vanderpump Rules. Okay, so let's get started. Selena Gomez. Now, Selena Gomez... Selena Gomez literally... My favorite female celebrity. I know that that might sound kind of dumb, but I love the girl. I've loved her since she was on Barney and since I watched Barney. So it's been a pretty long time that I've been a fan of hers. And when I found out that she was going to be on, that she was going to have her own show on Disney, Wizards of Waverly Place, I was so, so excited and couldn't wait for it to begin. And I just love the girl. I really, really do. So anything that has to do with her, and I've been with, and I've been like following her throughout her relationship with Justin Bieber, throughout her whole singing career, throughout just like all of the different movies that she's done. I've just been with her. So I saw some, I don't really watch those like Snapchat stories, you know, like the ones that different magazines and companies put out, like the Cosmopolitan one and I don't know, like Vice, Brother. I don't really watch them, but sometimes occasionally when something catches my eye, I will. So this one was about Selena Gomez, and I think the headline was like Selena Gomez, how like breaking up with Justin Bieber affects her style or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, what is this all about? It's like three reporter type wannabe people sitting at a table, just like looking through pictures caught by like the paparazzi of Selena Gomez out on the streets. And like, ones that are taken while she was with Justin Bieber and ones that are taken right after they broke up. And they were just like criticizing it, or either they were liking the ones when she was with Bieber because like her style was shining through, or they were like criticizing the ones after because her clothes were too baggy and like the colors were too neutral. Excuse me, hello. I wonder if like, if every single one of us got their pictures taken by paparazzi every single time they stepped out of their house, I wonder how put together we would all appear in the tabloids. Like, come on now. I mean, I am wearing, like, either sweatpants or leggings 90% of the time, and the only times I look put together are when I have to be, like, at a school or work-related thing. And every single other time, I look gross. So, we gotta give Selena Gomez some credit for keeping up with her style in general, and all of the celebrities, really. Because if you're gonna do that, then, like, you're really putting down, I'm not even gonna say females, you're just putting down people. And people deserve to feel comfortable every once in a while in some, and her all of her clothes were cute still, like, baggy sweaters and like nice like boyfriend jeans, like come, it's still a nice outfit. So I didn't really get that, and I just wanted to rant a little bit about it. So next, I kind of wanted to talk about commuting because I know a lot of people out there in the world commute, and I know you generally listen to podcasts probably while you are commuting. So I do a heck of a lot of commuting. I've been doing a lot of commuting this school year because last school year I had an apartment by University of Delaware, and this school year I'm commuting from Philly to Delaware every day. So last semester was about 50 miles one way, and then this semester it's 30 miles one way Mondays through Thursdays, and then on Fridays it's 50 miles each way. So a decent amount of driving every single day, and I don't have like a nice car. It's an old car. It's kind of fallen apart. But yeah, so I wanted to talk about commuting because I am one of those people that like desperately need a massage, but I've never been to a spa or gotten any sort of a massage. My masseuse is Joe, my boyfriend. He's a pretty good masseuse to have, not like certified or anything, but he is good at massages and he is just pretty good at like all the physical fitness wellness stuff. So he's like, oh, you're really tight there. Like, you know, why don't you, like, I don't know, why don't you try to fix your posture whenever you're just at rest or, you know, just in general, your posture isn't too great. I think you might want to like straighten your back out so that you don't like mess it up for the future. And I appreciate comments like that. Like, I'm not one of those weird people that's just going to be like, why don't you mind your own business? I really like it when Joe says things like that because it just shows that he cares. So it's nice. But anyway, so I go like, and I really start thinking about why potentially I could have all of this tension. And I'm like, you know what, Joe? I really feel like I get the most tension while driving because I feel like I'm always driving during rush hour times, either in the morning or in the afternoon, and I'm always, like, pretty tense because I have to be really careful, like, with switching lanes, and I'm not that experienced of a driver. I've only been driving for, like, about 3 years, so I'm like, you know, like, I really feel like the most tension I get is from, like, while driving, and then Joe says the simplest, yet the most, like, earth-shattering thing that, like, just has completely changed my world over the last few days. He goes, like, well, you know, I heard somewhere or I saw somewhere that when you're driving, you should actually be resting your head on that headrest. Doesn't that sound so, like, common sense, like, duh, yeah, a headrest, you should be resting your head on it. I never do. I don't know if you guys do, but if you don't, this might potentially change your life as well, especially if you are having long commutes every day. So I've been using the headrest. It is a little bit different. I found that adjusting my rear view mirror so that it is at the height of my head when my head is on the headrest helps remind me to keep my head on the headrest because I'll just look up at it and it's like super high. So I like automatically remind myself, oh yeah, lean your head back on the headrest, relax a little bit. And it feels so much nicer. I feel like I'm not as tense. Like even when I'm touching, like trying to kind of massage myself right now, I'm not as tense. It feels really nice. So I just thought I would throw that out there, a nice little useful tip. And I know a decent amount of people commute. I know that probably some of my classmates from grad school are listening to this, and I know at least half of us commute every day, so I just thought I would put that out there. Okay, next I wanted to talk about turning 24 years old, because let me tell you, and I tweeted this, I think, either yesterday or the day before, I just realized that I'm going to be turning 24 in July, and the past couple of months, I could have sworn I was going to be turning 23 in July. So that's been a little bit of a, you know, surprise I mean, I should have known. I really don't know why I was thinking 23. I don't know. I really don't know. I might be going crazy. But yeah, so 24, I'm getting closer and closer to mid 20s, and then I'll be getting closer and closer to late 20s, and then 30. But I'm not one of those people that's like super afraid of turning 30 or 28 or 29 or, you know, 25 or 24 even right now. I'm not afraid of it. I, like, you know, age is just a number, which is super cliche, but it is, and I don't, you know, I do feel like I'm 23 right now, and I'll probably feel like I'm 24, you know, in a few months. I mean, it's all right to feel your age, especially at such a young age. I don't really think I had anything super enlightening to say about this topic. I just wanted to throw it out there in case anybody wanted to send me presents. July 6th is the official birthday. And you can Venmo me. But I don't remember my Venmo username, so you can't Venmo me. Darn it. No, I'm just playing around. I'm kind of excited to turn 24. I get excited from turning a new age every single year just because I feel like every year I learn so much more about myself, and I really do enjoy these years, these like early 20s years, because I am like a completely different person personality-wise since I was when I was 18 or 19. So it's really exciting and to learn something new about yourself every single day. Like, you know, I can't think of a good example off the top of my head, but like I learn new things about how my hair grows and how my nails grow and how, you know, how to best wear this pair of pants or how to best wear that shirt or how to, you know, just like little things that I learn about myself every single day. It's pretty exciting. So I just wanted to say it because I thought it was pretty funny that I thought I was going to be 23 when I'm really going to be 24. Okay, and now we can get into my Bravo show episode. Recasts? I think that's the word I want to use for that. Yeah, my episode recasts. Recaps. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I... See... We were in my one language class that I'm taking right now. We were learning about like a specific method for teaching children grammar. And one of the methods was recasting. So I'm just going to blame it on that. I'm going to blame that I just said recast instead of recap because of that. Okay. So first I'll talk a little bit about Summer House. I am going to be honest with you. I did not take thorough notes about Summer House. I kind of just wrote down what I remembered. I watched it yesterday night. So I didn't take notes, but I just wrote down right now a few things that I really remembered that stuck out to me the most. So I wanted to talk about Kyle and Amanda because this is finally the episode where we see that one epic scene that has been shown in all of the previews for this season. And that is Kyle going like, summer should be fun. And then just this like dramatic pause. Amanda, not fun. Like right in Amanda's face. And then her all sad. So for anyone, let me backtrack a little bit. For anyone that doesn't watch Summer House, it is a show about like 7 or 8 late 20s, early 30s business people, like publicists and marketers and entrepreneurs from New York City. And then in the summer, they all rent this big, beautiful house in the Hamptons. And they go there every weekend while still working during the week, but they go there on the weekends. And it's just like all about their summer lifestyle in the Hamptons and how they go crazy. So Kyle and Amanda are the main, like, romantic couple this season. I think they might be, sorry, I'm getting the hiccups. I think they might be, like, the only couple this season from what I remember. But usually couples in the house do not do well because there's all this drama and all this drinking and all this partying and all this crazy stuff. So Kyle and Amanda, there's, like, a 9-year age difference, I believe. I think he's 35 and she's 26. But he acts like a kid. He definitely has, like, that Peter Pan syndrome, which I am going to touch on when I start talking about Vanderpump Rules, so I'll save some of that for later. But yeah, so, like, they get into this massive fight. I don't even remember what it was about. Crap. I should have taken notes. But they get into a massive fight, and then she goes, like, you know, like, I wish you were more mature. Because he peed in a wine bottle. It was, like, a white wine bottle, too. He peed in it, and then he put the cork back in and just set it on their table. I mean, what if somebody was to drink that? That would be disgusting. But I think that was one of the reasons for their fight. Like, there was more stuff that went into it. That was one of the reasons. But yeah, so, and then Amanda is like, I wish you were more mature. Like, you know, I'm thinking about a future with you. Like, how can I think about a future with you if you're acting like this and doing all this stupid stuff? And then I think she says, like, do you think you're ever going to marry me? And then he goes, like, no, I don't think I'm going to marry you. And I just thought that was, like, a harsh moment. And you could just see, like, her face, just, like, her breakdown. Like, it was so sad. I mean, that is, I'm kind of thinking that he said it in the heat of the moment. I mean, maybe at that moment he really didn't think he was going to marry her. But that was just a sad moment. So I just wanted to mention that because I don't know how they're going to come back from this fight. Oh, and then we get another couple. We get a blast from the past. We get Everett comes back. And Lindsay goes insane. So Lindsay and Everett went out last summer, and they were friends for a while before that. He is just like, they're all part of the same friend group. And they broke up a few months before summer, I think. And now, like, Lindsay has just been single, doing her thing this whole summer. And now Everett is, like, kind of coming back into the picture ever since Kyle's birthday party because he was invited to that. And I have no clue where this Lindsay, like, even came out from. Everett just brings out this awful side of her, which at first I was kind of sad that they broke up because I did like them together. I thought that they had, like, I thought they had potential. I thought they could be something good if they just communicated a little bit better. But no, now that I'm seeing how crazy he makes her just by basically doing nothing. Like, he was at the party for Kyle and he just wanted to talk to Kyle for a little bit. And Lindsay's like, you're here, you're talking to someone else. I should be your number one priority. I should be, like, the one that you're with the whole time. You should keep your eye on the prize. Like, Lindsay would never say this just when she was being, if she were just, like, to be herself. Like, I have no clue where this Lindsay came out from. Very irrational, but yeah, I mean, that definitely makes me realize that they should not be together. And then I wanted to touch a little bit on Steven's family drama. So for those that don't watch the show, Steven is gay, and I think he came out to his family a few years ago. He's, like, 27 now, I think. He came out to his family a few years back, and they're from Alabama, and they just don't really accept it because of their religion, and they just aren't really about it. And they show his visit to Alabama in, I think, the previous episode to this one. And it's pretty sad because his parents are, he just, like, really bares his soul to his parents, and they're just like, you know what? We're still, you know what we believe in. We think there's a heaven and a hell, basically letting him know that, like, gay people go to hell. And it was just a really sad thing to watch. And then it's really sad to see Steven kind of still upset after that whole visit in this episode, and how he's just like crying that he's not accepted and not really understood. And I mean, I don't get it either. I really don't understand how, you know, you won't accept your child. Even if you do believe in God so strongly and your beliefs are set in that way, I still don't believe, like, I don't get how you can, like, obviously your child is a part of you. They're special. They're great. They're wonderful. You know, if you believe in God, then God was a part of creating them as well. And why won't you just accept who they are? It baffles me. But I mean, you know, some people really have their beliefs really strong, and that's just that. And I think it's really sad, and I wish that Steven didn't have to go through that. So that is what I am ending Summer House on. And now I want to get more into Vanderpump Rules, because I just watched this episode today, so it's fresher in my mind. Okay, so I took some notes down while I was watching it. Not a whole ton, but more than for Summer House. So I wanted to start off with, okay, so Tom Tom is this, well, actually, let me start off by talking a little bit about what Vanderpump Rules is for those that don't know, so that this doesn't just completely go right past your head. So Vanderpump Rules is a show about a restaurant run by Lisa Vanderpump, who is one of the housewives of Beverly Hills, and she runs it with her husband. And this show specifically focuses on one of the restaurants that she runs, which is SUR, which stands for Sexy Unique Restaurant. And it's just about all of the servers, busboys, bartenders that work there. That's what it started on. And then from there, it kind of took off. And some of the people that used to be the servers are not servers anymore, but they're still on the show. So now one of her bartenders, Tom Sandoval, who's been on the show since the beginning, and Tom Schwartz, who is one of the girl waitresses' husband, he's her husband, and she works at the restaurant. Lisa gave them this proposition of opening up their own bar restaurant type of thing, calling it Tom Tom, because both of their names are Tom. So, like, they're in this building, they're trying to think of a way to redesign it and make it all cool and whatever, and I just don't understand, like, why there is, I don't really get, like, jalapeno drinks. I don't really get, like, spicy drinks, because one of the drinks that Tom Sandoval offers Lisa to take onto the menu for this new place is like the super spicy, like, jalapeno and honey scorpion chili something drink. And he goes, like, this one's going to be such a spicy one. And she's like, it's not spicy enough. And I just don't understand really spicy alcoholic beverages. I don't get it. Is this like an LA thing? Because I really haven't heard of it until I started watching these Bravo shows that are all the ones that are LA based. I don't get, like, jalapeno martini. I don't even know what they are. I don't get it. If you get it, let me know. Okay, so that was one of my notes. And then another one of my notes. Huge things happening for Jax in this episode. So Jax is like a 38-year-old dating a 28-year-old. And not that I have any issue with age differences. I'm just kind of trying to give everyone a backstory that doesn't watch the show. And their relationship has just been on the rocks lately. He cheated on her with one of, like, the girls from their friend group, and it was just like a whole big thing at the beginning of this season, which I feel like we've kind of forgotten about, but I feel like it just happened a few episodes ago. So they have just been going through a rough patch lately. And now Jax gets this offer to work some hockey marketing job in Tampa, Florida. And he's, like, so excited about it, which I get. I kind of am excited for him as well because I feel like he kind of needs this. He needs to grow up, stop bartending, like kind of start like having a life. And I feel like he's also at that point, like he understands that as well. But the way that he goes about discussing this with Brittany, or rather lack of discussing this with Brittany, is just wrong. Like he just kind of assumes that whatever he chooses, that the decision to take this job or not take this job is just up to him. And if he takes it, then Brittany is just going to pack up and go with him wherever he goes. And if he doesn't, then they're just going to stay and everything's going to be fine. And I feel like Jax kind of just lives in this like little ideal world. And I think he should really take Brittany's, like what she thinks, her thoughts, into consideration a little bit more. Because she's done so much for him, and I don't know. I mean, I could go a lot more into this, but Jax and his Peter Pan syndrome, which he has referenced several times in this episode, which Kyle from Summer House, I think, also has, just they don't want to grow up. I don't get it. I mean, I don't have that mentality, so I don't understand it. So if anyone does, let me know, because I just do not get the whole, I don't want to grow up, I just want to keep partying, even though I'm in my mid to late 30s now, so. Yeah, I don't know. And then I also wanted to mention a little bit about Sheena. So Sheena is one of the other waitresses at Sir, and she has just gone through a divorce. It's not finalized yet. It's about to be finalized. And now she's dating this new guy that she's known for like a decade, but they're having like their own little difficulties that she completely is blind. Like she is not seeing any of this. She thinks that they're perfect, but he doesn't even say I love you back to her. So I think that should be a red flag. But she's like, but I know he loves me. I know, like, just by the way that he looks at me and just the way that he acts. Okay, I get it. But saying I love you occasionally would be nice as well. It's just awkward for me to watch. Like, she says I love you to him at least 3 times per episode. And he's not even a show regular, so. But she says it to him a whole bunch of times and he never says it back. So that's just awkward. So what I wanted to say about Sheena in relation to Jax and Brittany, Sheena, stop trying to set Brittany up with someone new. Her and Jax are still in a relationship, even though they're going through their own stuff. Like, leave them alone. Have some respect. I mean, maybe in the back of your mind, you can start planning this if they do ever break up, which I don't know if it'll happen, but if it does, like, you know, you can have your own little backup plan in your mind. But don't get into their relationship right now while it's still going on. Like, that's just wrong. You should not do that. Have some respect for the relationship. I really don't like when people do that because I understand, like, girlfriends might think that they know best and that they, you know, that they can see that there's something going on with your relationship and that they could fix it. But no matter what a girlfriend does, like, it's always going to come down to the two people that are actually in the relationship to figure out what they want to do. And then I have just a few more little notes about Vanderpump Rules. And I think then that'll be it for this podcast episode. I love how Katie and Tom are finally, like, falling into a nice, healthy relationship spot. I mean, it's only taken, what, like, 7 years of their relationship and a year of marriage to finally get to this nice spot. But I'm happy that they are. Back to Sheena, though. Okay, Sheena is, like, the definition of extra this season. And I always kind of liked her. I mean, she has her flaws, but she's a cool girl, I always thought. And then this episode, there is just a whole bunch of faces to Sheena that are coming out that I am surprised by, to say the least. So she's definitely like the definition of extra this season. The things that she says to Rob, like, I just don't understand how a 31-year-old woman could say these things. They're like what a 12-year-old girl would say to her crush. She's like, my divorce is going to be finalized, and then you're going to be the next one that I marry. Meanwhile, this guy has not even said I love you back to you. So please, Sheena, just pump the brakes a little bit, calm down. And we know, like, we already know that they actually do break up after this season stopped filming. So they're not together. So it's already kind of, it's sad to watch her say all of this lovey-dovey stuff to him. And then, like, as a viewer, you already know that they're not together anymore. So, yeah. So I don't know. I kind of feel bad for Sheena because I know she's had a lot of stuff going on, and I think that might be potentially why she is having like an overflow of emotions right now. So I do feel bad, but I do think that she needs to have a little bit more of a, like, bite her tongue a little bit more. And then I had a quick note about Stassi. I absolutely love Stassi. Wow. I love Stassi. I think she is so pretty. I think she is adorable. But I wonder what's happening with, like, all the drama that they show you for the next episode with Kristen. Like, Kristen is supposed to be her best friend. So I don't understand why she's, like, telling Kristen. I mean, I feel like this is probably just editing and they're just trying to, like, juice you up for, like, the next episode. But she's like, I would never take you on a trip. And this is exactly why. You are, like, the worst person to go travel with. So I don't know what's going on with them. They're supposed to be best friends. I don't know. And I think that's about it. That's all I wanted to say about everything. I feel like this podcast was a lot more organized. Even if you don't watch these Bravo shows, I feel like, you know, I kind of relate them back. And I try to give you a little bit of a backstory. So I hope that, you know, you didn't feel completely lost. And I do recommend Summer House and Vanderpump Rules. I do think they are two pretty good shows. Yeah, I think that's about it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you'll be listening again. And thanks for listening to begin with. Thank you for supporting me. Subscribe, review, all that fun stuff. And I will be talking to you next hump day. Bye.